Read in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, and from verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, ultimately, there is hell and eternal destruction for those who refuse the gospel. And in these brief few moments of exposition, before we turn to prayer, I want to speak of the warnings that the Lord graciously gives before that final destruction occurs. I thought it would be a little bit interesting to begin with Nineveh and Jonah. The other mention of Jonah is in 2 Kings 14, which I don't want you to look at now, but it helps us to date him. This is about 782 BC. And at that time, the king on the throne, the great Assyrian king, who ruled over a great deal of the world, was Shalmaneser III. So that when Jonah goes to Nineveh and the king repents in sackcloth and ashes, it is about the issue of Nineveh. This king is a worldwide king, as the days were in those times. But in respect to the destruction of Nineveh, which would have interested Shalmaneser very much because he lived there, he humbled himself in sackcloth and ashes. So at about that time, there was a reviving. And when you get a reviving, there is perhaps a generation, perhaps two generations, that are wonderfully helped and affected before it all declines again. About 20 years later, Nineveh has a second warning, and we may imagine that some of those who were revived earlier are still going strong. But in the year 763 BC, there was a total eclipse of the sun in Nineveh, which so moved them, so scared them, that from then onwards, all their dating was done from that occasion. It's a bit interesting that all the Greek dating was done from their first Olympiad and had only been a few years before, perhaps 14 years before. So the second warning to Nineveh was this total eclipse of the sun, which scared them. Was a thing that didn't often happen, and so much influenced them that they did their dating from them. We're thinking of perhaps 100 years later now, and the prophet Nahum. There are 3 chapters of the prophecy of Nahum, and if you have time today, the very last chapter and most of the 2nd are very, very solemn reading as to what actually happens when a city is destroyed. It's very similar in Revelation 18 when Babylon is destroyed. And the terrible detail when the whole of the world and the whole of the economy and things like this fall to bits. So we do have a similarity here. I would like to suggest that what we're going through now is not the first warning, because there have been plagues and whatever before, but this is the first global warning, I think, where the whole world is simultaneously warned. Well, there were 3 warnings, Jonah and the eclipse, and then Nahum. And about 60 years after Nahum, Nineveh was destroyed. Less than 200 years from that first warning. It was incidentally the same year in which the same king took many captives out of Jerusalem, and the 70 years of Jeremiah subsequently dated from them to give 536 BC. Nineveh was destroyed in 606 BC. Warnings must be heeded. I would be looking for a tremendous worldwide revival if there was going to be a great turning to the Lord in consequence of our having been warned. I'm thinking of the scale because I know nothing about it. But the Lord speaks of a tenth in the beginning of Isaiah, and tenth is of significance in other places. If a tenth of our current population, which I guessed is about 75 million, I would expect 7 million to be converted all at once, or within a short time, everybody encouraging one another to turn to the Lord to something like that extent worldwide, or at least with all the countries that have been affected. If there were no reviving, either on that scale or on whatever scale the Lord saw fit, then I would think we would be moving to the second warning, which will be worse than the first. Perhaps the last warning before the Lord returns is the warning that there is in Revelation 6. And the Lord, you remember, opened seals. I'm not going into it now. But when the Lord opened the 4th seal, there was the 4 saw destructions that the Lord brings upon the world of wild animals and warfare and famine and pestilence. That would not just be global, but destroy 1/4 of the whole world's population. That's in Revelation 6, and it's the opening of the 4th seal. And just in passing, really for a bit of fun, in Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus speaks of in exactly the same order as the 4th, 5th, and 6th seals about what's going to happen to believers, about the sun falling from heaven, and also about the pestilences that will come upon us. So we're living and praying now concerning very troublous times, not only for believers, but more particularly for those who are unbelieving and need to take heed to what is going on. We need to pray for the glory of the Lord that men will take heed, but for men themselves that they will take heed, and the work of the Lord. Because if they don't, the prospects according to the scriptures are horrendous. we're privileged to come in prayer.